paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Here, Bird Show.
If you have a younger sibling or if you have an older sibling, this next segment is for you because I came across this on Instagram and it's all about how older siblings tormented their younger siblings. And I also found a list on BuzzFeed of some of the things older siblings have done to their younger siblings. Oh my God.
I can imagine.
It's so bad, but we're going to read it. So 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, 855-237-8746. If you are the younger sibling and want to share what hell your older sibling put you through. So what caught my eye on Instagram from Bustle UK, it's just a woman with her photo and over top of it some copy. And it says, since everyone is talking about trauma caused by older sisters, my sister and I would imaginary play being at a Spice Girls concert. She played all 5 Spice Girls and I was a fan who would try and rush the stage and she would kick me off while performing. It's so harsh. All right. So then I did some digging to see if I found some other stuff that older siblings had done to younger siblings. And so some of these from the BuzzFeed list go, my older siblings didn't want to watch me while babysitting, so they tied me to a tree in our front yard.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's foul.
Mm-hmm. My older brother once convinced me to sit in a laundry basket. And then my older sister came running in with a second basket they put on top. Then they tied the 2 baskets together with socks and threw me down the stairs.
Okay, that's fair. God. That's all fair right there.
Once when I was little, my older sister wanted to play dog, in which I acted like a dog and she acted like my owner. So she put our actual dog's collar, which happened to be an invisible fence collar, on me, and she walked me across the boundary line. I still remember the feeling of getting shocked.
That is dirty.
All right. I had a Barbie dream house when I was little, and my brother's G.I. Joes would regularly invade, loot, pillage, and behead their captives. I would find Barbie heads all over the house.
Wow.
My brother and I convinced our little sister that she had to eat the fortune and fortune cookies in order for it to come true. We kept it up for 5 years before we realized she was full of S.
So my brother is 8 years older than me. And so he left the house when he was 18. So I was like 10 when he left. But growing up, it was a living hell. He tried flushing my head down the toilet.
What?
He would throw me out of the house and lock me out of the house. And one time we were over at our cousin's house, and she is a few years younger than me, and she accidentally pooped her pants.
Aww.
And they took her underwear, my brother, and put it on this long stick and chased me through the woods with it. You would have thought the devil was after me. I don't think I've ever ran so fast in my life.
Probably not. All right. My older brother would kill spiders and tape their dead carcasses to my bedroom wall.
Okay. Oh, my God. Ew, serial killer vibes.
Let's see.
These are really evil.
My older sister used to charge me rent to live in our house.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Okay. We always thought we were special when our older brother decided to treat us to his brotherly allowance, but it wasn't until years later that we realized he just wanted to hurl coins at us from his third floor window. My older siblings told me that change was more valuable than bills because cash is just paper and coins are gold and silver. So then they take all my money. My older brothers used to chase me around the house with super soakers filled with toilet water.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Okay.
Uh-huh. And we got some people on the line. Hey, Cindy, welcome to the Bird Show. How did your older sibling torment you?
Hi. It wasn't my older sibling. It was my husband's. My husband is the oldest sibling. It's 5 of them, but it's 3 boys and 2 girls.
Mm-hmm.
And him and his next to the oldest brother would take the younger brother, and they made him take his clothes off, or they took his clothes off, and it was cold outside, and so they took him and put him in a tree and tied him up to that tree and left him there overnight with no clothes on.
Overnight? Oh my God.
Okay, I think that might be abuse.
Yeah.
Have y'all heard about the knife running theory with siblings?
No, there,
there's always one sibling that would run after your siblings with knives, and there's always one running away. This is a Gen Z thing. Like, it's not just me, I swear. On TikTok, people are sharing which sibling they were, the one that chased after their sibling with knives or the one that was running away.
I'm trying to figure out which one I was.
I definitely had best friends growing up, and they had an older sibling who, used the knife to terrorize them. Didn't actually touch them with it, but
most over here, like,
this is insane.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's the Burt Show.
Cassie and her family don't have a house to live in right now, but they do have a backyard to argue with about.
Yeah, we are living in a trailer or an RV in our house, in our driveway right now while we do some construction on the house. And the thing with an RV is it's great, but it's not always built for long-term living. And what I mean by this is if you were to take it to, say, go hiking in the mountains, right? You would have enough space to like pack your hiking gear and your hiking clothes and then like some things to sleep in. But when you're talking about putting your entire wardrobe for a season in the RV or for your kids, there's no room. There's no room for that. I don't have a closet where there's hanging space where like pants or dresses can hang all the way down. It's kind of curtailed. And they've done a really good job at creating this wardrobe space. But as we're moving into the colder seasons, when you have thicker, bulkier clothing, and then add on to top of that, I'm plus size, so my clothes actually do take up more space. I'm running short on space for stuff, and I can fit maybe 5 sweaters in the little closet area I have. So I was at a baby shower that I was throwing with Kristen for a mutual friend of ours, and Kaylee's wife was there, Erin, and she had a brilliant idea. She goes, you know what I would do? I'll get a shed in the backyard and turn that into a closet. And she said that, and I went, you are a genius. Get this woman a Nobel Prize. We have a shed in our backyard. It's falling apart. It's super old. And it has lawn equipment in it. So we've been talking about replacing it anyway. So I need help convincing my husband, Chad, to replace the shed and temporarily let me make it a she shed. So basically a closet with all of my clothes and all of the kids' clothes. His stuff can go in there too. A big mirror, dressing room, lights. So every day, like, I have somewhere where I can actually go change, because also there's not a lot of space to actually change in the RV. Like, if you're bending over, you're bumping into doors or cabinets or a bed. And so I think it is a brilliant idea. And then when we get back into our house, we can turn it back into like lawn equipment shed, or he can use it as an office space as he picks up more contracts, stuff like that. But it is so, I've tried to pitch him on a couple of other things outdoors and he shut them down immediately for good logical reasons. And so I really want this. I really want this. And I need help figuring out a way to convince him that it's a good idea.
What's his reluctance?
Yeah. Well, so a listener had emailed me and said, hey, you know what we did? We put our washer and dryer outside the house under like a tent or an overhang. We have an overhang. And I was like, ah, genius, because we can't run our washer and dryer in the house right now because of, I don't know, carbon monoxide, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to a laundromat, and I suggested that to him, and he's like, that's a great idea, except we're getting into winter, the pipes are going to freeze, and also, like, we live right by some woods, so mice are going to get up in there. It's not a good idea on our new washer and dryer. And I was like, okay, Dad, it makes sense. So he is very good at finding the real truth, the real reasons why things won't work, whereas I prefer to ignore those and pretend they don't exist and deal with that later if it happens. And so I know he's going to shoot this down somehow with some logic like, hey, we live near a creek. The clothes are going to get wet and moldy because it's not a controlled environment. Whatever, I'll get a dehumidifier. I can come up with arguments, but I would like to present the case in a nice little like tied up bow so that he doesn't have a way to be like, no.
All right, so that's what she's at. She's asking us to troubleshoot her request. That way when she goes back to Chad, she's got a retort for everything. She's got an answer for everything.
I wouldn't even begin to try to come up with something better than that, what you can, considering our intelligence and educational background.
Yeah, you're going to have the smartest response out of all of us.
I didn't go to school for like engineering or anything like that. I just, I mean, from what I can see is he'll be worried about humidity. humidity. We'll get a dehumidifier and an air conditioner. We have a portable air conditioner unit.
Get some mothballs.
Ooh, good idea. See, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, make it like, or you can like do some of the inside it with in cedar to help with like the, to help with some of the insects.
Cedar.
Cedar wood.
Cedar wood.
What y'all talking about?
How about instead of trying to sell him on the she shed, how about you say, if you let me put all my clothes here, I'll let you do insert X, Y, and Z. Ah. Maybe he wants a new TV. What the thing that Kristen's doing with her hands right now, maybe that's what he wants.
Oh, wait.
That doesn't count.
You got to work with what you got.
Maybe offer up the back door. I don't know.
That's what I was doing.
All right. No.
To a shed?
Yeah. Maybe he likes the back part of the shed.
All right, so here's glossing over that. The other thing I could do, I could technically do this, but I would never normally do this, and it would cause tension, but I could do it, is I could just order the shed and have it delivered set up.
Don't do that.
But then I could be like, babe, I knew you wanted to get rid of the old one. Here's a new one for the equipment. And then I'll be like, one day I'll just have clothes all over the RV bedroom. And I'll be like, there's just no space. What if I put them in the shed until we get back in the house?
Okay, so I was assuming you were going to try to convert the existing shed into something. You want to bring an entirely different shed in, which to me plays better to you than it does to try to renovate the old shed.
Well, the old shed is really, like, it's got holes in the roof, squirrels get up in there, and it's like almost a log cabin shed, so there are lots of holes in it, so it really wouldn't be suitable anyway. Every time we open up with the lawn equipment, there are spiders and wasps inside, so I want to get one of these, like, new tough-built sheds that basically have room for insulation and are all locked down and stuff.
And she said they were replacing it anyway.
Mm-hmm. I literally just did a search on this thing, and the first thing that came up from Wayfair is waterproof outdoor storage shed for clothing.
Boom!
Yeah,
send me the link, please.
Yeah, this is done. There's a whole bunch of them.
All right, Merry Christmas to me.
That are specifically done for this. All right.
So it's such a good idea that they've already created products for it, which means it's been tried and true, tested and proven, and so there's no reason not to.
There's a whole bunch of them. Waterproof outdoor storage shed for clothing.
All right, I think between Aaron, Kaylee's wife, and Bert, I've got this on lock.
We're done! It's the Bert Show.
This is the Bert Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So if you have a family member, you know what? Just a family member. Let's not even take pets into consideration just yet. Family member that passes away. Would you ever consider cloning them?
God, no. I don't love anybody that much.
No.
That's like pet cemetery.
It's too weird,
too
right?
Too weird.
But speaking of pets, what if it's your pet?
It feels different because you can't have a conversation with them. I feel like it'd be easier to notice the cloning with a human, but a pet, it might be a little bit different. And that's what my parents are thinking. So my parents and I, we lost my childhood dog back in the spring. It was right after I moved here. I got this random FaceTime call on like a Tuesday. And my mom was like, Ted died. And I was like, oh God, this is not how I expected to start my day. And it was absolutely devastating. I mean, if you've ever had a pet that's become family, it is like losing a human family member. And my parents are dog people. I mean, they're the type of people that when they go to bed, they try and wedge the dogs in as close as possible to them. Like one of my dogs will be spooning my mom, the other's curled behind her legs, the other's like wedged between my mom and my dad. And so when we lost Ted, it was really devastating because they physically and emotionally felt that loss. So for the last couple of months or so, every time I've gone home, my mom has joked that she misses Ted so much, the dog that we lost, that she wished that she had cloned him. And she keeps saying it, and I keep like laughing it off, like, ha ha ha, you can't clone your dog. Well, turns out there is an actual business that will let you clone your pet. It's called Viagen Pets, and they will help you clone your dog, your cat, or your horse if you really want to clone your horse, which I feel like makes a lot of sense if you're into horse racing, because if you have a really great horse that's like winning competitions, makes a lot of sense, right?
All right, so two questions. One, how does this work? Two,
how much does this cost?
I'm so glad you asked because I have all that information here. So basically, this clone dog is a genetic twin of your dog, cat, or horse, according to the website. It's just born at a later date. So basically, you get the genetic material from so the dog has to be alive. So we found that out the hard way that we won't be able to clone Ted. And they freeze that genetic information. And then whenever you're ready to like put it in another dog, they carry it like a surrogate. Then you can have that dog whenever you're ready to bring your clone into the world.
It sounds too freaky to me.
It really does. It feels very like 2078. It is really expensive. So it kind of depends on like how much are you willing to invest in possibly getting to clone your dog that meant so much to you. So the total cost for dog cloning is $50,000 paid in two equal installments. So 25, 25.
Okay.
And then same thing for cats, $50,000, 25, 25 in two equal installments. And if you want to clone your horse, you're going to have to double up because it's $85,000.
You're definitely not doing that if your horse is trash. I got to be a good horse.
Got to be a good racehorse. So I posted this on my Instagram because my mom has really just become great content for me to share with the world because she's a little unhinged, this being a perfect example. And I got a lot of DMs about people who either knew people who did this or looked into it. And they really warned me against doing something like this because they said, yeah, your dog might look and sound like Ted or whoever your long lost dog is, but the personality differences are so massive that I feel like it'd be more devastating to have to look at your dog and have it
not act you can't the way you remember.
Yeah, you can't replicate those experiences because the dog is going to act completely different.
Right. So, when I had my English Bulldog Riggins, who I love so much, and I still miss him every day, man. There, I tell this to Krista that I can joke about anything. I'm pretty dark. I still can't talk about that dog dying. I just can't. And I don't know that I'll ever have an English Bulldog ever again. Just because, and this is just for me, if you're a bulldog owner, don't take this personally. I've just lost so many and they only live for like 7 or 8 years that I just can't go through this process again.
Your heart can't take it anymore.
It doesn't feel like it can. But while he was alive, I medically froze his junk while he was in for a different surgery. So
you got Riggins sperm?
Yeah.
Really?
I do. And it's in a freezer somewhere. And every year, my business manager hits me up and goes, hey, this is only $150, but you want to get rid of the gunk. And I have never been able to bring myself to say no to it.
But you don't want to have another English bulldog.
I don't think. Well, first of all, my fiance is allergic to English bulldogs fur, so it couldn't be a possibility. But let's say that wasn't the case. I had thought about it. But then I'm like, I just can't do it again with an English bulldog.
So they extracted it during the surgery? I was a little worried. It was a weird visual.
It's not in my freezer. By the popsicles. But I don't think that I have been able to bring myself to do it because that's like the finality of it. Mm-hmm. Like even though he's not here anymore, at least he's gunk somewhere. So it might be able to live on at some point. I just can't bring myself to do it.
So glad that his sperm is giving you some peace of mind.
He's not gone yet. There's still a chance. And he never got laid in real life. That would kind of suck.
Never?
No,
he died a virgin?
Oh. Yeah, took his balls off early. And he never got to have sex, so it seemed unjust.
But he humped stuff.
He never humped anything.
He did it? That was just Tyra that humped everything?
That was
everything?
The female bulldog that humped everything.
Maybe he was asexual. You don't know. Maybe.
Maybe I made him asexual.
Yeah, I don't
so he's gonna. Wouldn't that be something if he finally gets an impregnated dog without ever having sex? That almost seems mean.
That's not fair.
This is The Bert Show.
All right, this is really, really interesting. We want to get Bert Show listener Dion, whose daughter wants to be a professional wrestler.
Oh, wow. What an ambitious goal.
I love this, right? Hey, Dee.
Hey.
Good morning. Okay, so you got concerns about her pursuing this, but it has not a lot to do with like the physical part of getting hurt in the ring. It has everything to do with diet.
Yeah, exactly. So she's 9, so keep that in mind. I mean, kids have fantastical ideas all the time, you know, whatever. But we've recently started watching and it's been like this really fun thing for everybody. But she's got like extremely into it. Like she is over the top. This is like her life's mission now. She's going to be like a superstar, which I'm like, you go, girl, like do it.
Yeah.
And she's super driven. She's amazing. She sets her mind to something. She's going to do it. That part is cool. But the problem is she has like access at the library and stuff to a computer. And because we don't like let her have, you know, her own computer or tablet, stuff like that. But she went and started researching, like, how to do this? What do I do? And she came to me with this whole list of foods. And she was like, this is what wrestlers eat. And this is what wrestlers cannot eat. Mm. So she has this whole list of, like, things that she wants to eat. And this whole list of things that she is not allowing herself to eat. Which, surface level, is like, okay, you know, it's healthy stuff. It's not, like, crazy weird, like, crash diet or something. You know, it's, like, very healthy, protein-rich, like, stuff you would eat if you were going to train, you know. And I told her, you know, that's great. You can't eat, like, you know, a 200-pound man, so you're going to have to, like, dial it back a little bit. But you also, you know, I'm just concerned that what starts on, like, a healthy, like, goal is going to maybe go somewhere else. I don't want it to become, an obsession. You know, I've struggled with eating disorders in the past, and I know how slippery the slope is.
You are a fantastic mom.
You are.
Let me say that. That your daughter wants to do something a little bit out of the ordinary, and you're totally open to it. And your concerns, I think, are totally and completely valid for the right reasons.
Because if your child comes to you, and I love this for her, I do, and that the fact that she's already doing all this research to, she's not only has she proclaimed a goal, but she's actively working towards it. But when your 9-year-old, almost 10-year-old daughter comes to you with a list of foods that she's restricting, I can see how, as a mom, you're like, this is definitely a slippery slope. How do we make sure this doesn't, we don't end on the wrong side of this?
You want to get her on the proper steroids now, like most wrestlers, not something off the street.
They don't do that. What are you talking about? Uh-huh.
All right. So when we read your email, we realized like this is way above our pay grade. So we reached out to Margaret Schwanke, who is a certified eating psychology counselor and certified holistic health coach and the founder of Authentic Nourishment, to kind of help you out and guide you through this. Good morning, Margaret.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right, so you heard Dee and you heard her concern. She's really trying to be open-minded about her 9-year-old being a professional wrestler, which I think is fantastic. But the eating part of it really concerns her. So as a holistic health coach, how should she attack this with her daughter?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to jump into it. I have a couple questions for you, Dee. So first I want to say, I think there is so much positivity in this situation. You are such a great mom. I just want to, you know, just affirm for you that, you know, your concerns are valid, and I understand you have a history here. And so that makes it even, more concerning. But there is so much, you know, the fun that you guys are having from watching the WWE, and then the fact that she's 9 and she's taking a genuine interest in this, and that you are supporting her, but also concerned. So I think the first thing for us to consider is that this, like, 100% overwhelming, all-encompassing interest, it might pass, right? She's 9. It might pass. So, but the best thing we can do is take it seriously and treat her interest, you know, as legitimate, and offer the support and investment in her that you are inclined to do. So, do you mind sharing a little bit about your eating disorder past, what that was like?
Yeah, so mine was a lot different than her. Like, this all is because of a goal, right? So mine was all aesthetic. Hers is not aesthetic at all. She doesn't care. She has shown no, like, thoughts about, like, oh, I need to look like this or whatever. But when I was younger, I was like, I always felt like I was a little bit bigger than all the girls in my my grade when I was like in middle school and stuff like that. And then high school, like, I just always felt bigger. And so once I started figuring out how to lose weight, it became like an obsession. So, like, right before college, I just went off the deep end, like, completely working out all the time, like barely eating anything. I lost like 50 pounds or something. Like, it was not good. But mine was all like the aesthetic thing. Like, oh, once I started getting smaller, I couldn't stop getting smaller. Right. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And I understand. And I think so many people have struggled with that, myself included in my past. So I really understand how challenging that is. So has she exhibited any signs of being restrictive or thinking about this in that way?
Not at all. That is the one positive thing. Like, this is nothing like that. She doesn't even, to me, that doesn't even seem like it's on her radar at all. All she talks about is like to get strong and to do this for, you know, so that part, I guess, you know, doesn't concern me as much.
Yeah. And what else is she looking up? You mentioned she's Googling all kinds of things. What else is she searching?
So she wants to know, like, how they train, like, what kind of workouts to do and stuff like that. And so she started doing, like, martial arts because I figure that's really kind of the sort of stepping stone. She can start learning, like, technical things. You know, and how serious, you know, some of this is really is. It's not all, you know, fun and not TV, you know. So, but she is starting to, like, take the training part seriously, you know, and just trying to figure out how to, you know, train to get where she wants to be.
Yeah. Okay. Well, from my perspective, it sounds like she is approaching this in a very straightforward manner. You know, she's not only targeting the food piece of this. She's not obsessing about the diet or being restrictive. She's taking a genuine interest in all aspects of this topic, right? How do they, you know, how do they eat? How do they train? How do I get strong? How do I do this? How do I become really good at this? And that's a really positive approach. And so my perspective would be, you know, can you use this as an opportunity to teach her how to do this in a healthy way? And that might be healing for you both. You know, I know that you have some concerns that she's going to follow in your footsteps and have disordered eating, but I think that this is an opportunity for you to really approach this and say, you know, like, depending upon how honest you feel like you can be with her, I would lean in and trust in the efforts that you've made to model a healthy relationship with food for her. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Margaret, would you mind? I mean, we're just so restricted by time on this show sometimes, and we could go on for another 15 minutes. Would you mind if we gave Dee your phone number just so she could do a little counseling with you just for a couple of minutes off the air and get a little bit more in depth? Yeah.
And what it sounds like, Margaret, you're telling Dee, like, all, you know, obviously your concerns are valid, but it seems right now your daughter is on the right track. And Margaret's like, while you have these concerns, there doesn't seem to be like anything you really honestly need to do at this moment, except for just continue to be a supportive mom.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, let me link you guys up off the air. And if you have any additional questions for her, I'm sure she can help you out.
Thank you so much.
Margaret, you've been great. Thank you. If you want to check out Margaret, check out Margaret Schwanke. You better spell that.
S-C-H-W-E-N-K-E.
Let's get people to your website. We'll connect over. We'll link over to it from our website also, which is thebertshow.com.
Listen, it's The Bert Show.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Should she let the previous owner of her dog visit? Because she's all worried it might cause some stress on her dog. That is email that Mo's got.
Hi, Bert Show. Love you guys and listen to you daily. You guys are awesome. And Abby, don't rush finding your person. They will show up when you least expect it.
Did it actually say that? Or you ad-lib that?
No, that's what it is. Enjoy your 20s, girly. On to the topic. Rescue dogs. To allow or to not allow the previous owner to visit with my new dog. I adopted a beautiful pit bull mix. We will call her Darla.
Are we actually using a name change for a dog? Just to protect the innocent.
From the shelter just a few months ago. The shelter I adopted her from had a clear the shelter event at the time that I got her. So the shelter took a photo of us and posted it to their Facebook page, which I responded to. The previous owner noticed that she was adopted and reached out to me to thank me for adopting her, which was so sweet and welcomed and appreciated. On impulse, and being the kind of person I am, I said something like, feel free to visit her anytime.
Why'd you do that?
Which I really meant.
But after thinking about it and her asking to meet up, I am thinking maybe it would confuse my dog, and I'm worried that there would be more trauma for both of them opening up that wound and cause more emotional stress to both of them and possible behavior issues in Dollar from the feelings of abandonment again. Or maybe it would be a good thing for both of them to show Dollar that her previous owner still loves and cares about her and didn't want to leave her. She had to relinquish because she started spending too much time away from work and was also diagnosed with a lifelong medical condition, so she wasn't able to give Dollar the time, attention, and exercise she needed. I feel she did the best thing for Dollar, and I'm so lucky and thankful to get to have Dollar in my life and my family's lives. I'm just worried meeting up with the previous owner is going to now cause more separation, anxiety, or stress. Or maybe it will be a good thing. I'm torn on what to do here. Any advice is greatly appreciated. Thanks so much.
Yeah, I'm not a pro here, but sometimes I think we assume animals have the same emotional capacity and intelligence in these areas that we do. And in a lot of cases, they do. It doesn't sound like the if the dog was coming from an abusive owner, and it would have, and the dog would clearly react in a way that you could tell that the abuse was coming from the owner, I'd say keep them separated. As a guy that's going through this right now with an adopted dog, I don't even know what her history is. I just know she's clearly been abused. Then I would say stay away. But in this situation, I don't think that there'll be the connection of abuse or abandonment to the dog.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that if it was a good home, that the dog would be happy to see their previous owner. I don't think it would take away from the new owner, but I also don't really speak dog, so I'm not 100% sure, but I do feel like it would be something that would be beneficial for both parties, the previous owner and the dog.
I don't think any harm is going to come to the dog by doing something like this, because like Bert said, if she's not coming from a traumatic rehoming, right? Like this, there was legitimate reasons why the previous owner wasn't able to, you know, give her the care and love and attention that she deserved and needed. So she gave her back to the shelter, and the shelter was able to find her a new home. As long as it doesn't impede on you and your time, or it doesn't weigh on you in any capacity, I say go for it. And if anything, like whenever you go out of town or something like that, or you need a pet sitter, maybe this person can be like, you know, the pet sitter for Darla. Use it to your advantage.
Yeah, I honestly think humans are more complicated than dogs. I think the dog is just going to be happy that somebody else wants to hang out with it and play with it. When I was reading this email,
it's not an it. It's sorry, her.
Darla. When I was listening to Mo read the email, honestly, I thought the conflict was going to be more about like the previous owner wanting to spend too much time with the dog and come over all the time and then maybe sneak off with the dog when you're not looking because she actually misses Darla. She was such a good dog. So I think, honestly, as long as you're willing to deal with the actual, like, you know, other owner, and I think maybe the complications that could come with that, I think the more the merrier. Dogs are so much more simple than cats. Like, I know I'm leaving my cat next week, and I'm like, is it going to be more traumatizing for her to be in the car for 7 hours and go to my mom's house? Or is it going to be more traumatizing for her to be alone in my apartment for 4 days? And turns out cats just want to be alone, so I'm leaving her at my house.
I didn't think about that aspect of it. That's interesting, Abby, because would you feel comfortable with the previous dog owner babysitting or dog sitting your dog, and kind of in the back of your mind have that worry of what if they do just run off and want the dog back?
Or like you go back to get your dog and the door's locked and they refuse to relinquish the dog back over to you.
Right.
You would have to have a lot of trust there. I mean, that sounds pretty dramatic. I wouldn't have a problem with the former owner coming on over and thinking that they were going to kidnap the dog.
Well, you know me, I live in worst case scenario land, so everybody's a threat.
Yeah, you do.
Social media director Rebecca, riddle me this. Why in the world would a husband put a dead squirrel in a donut box in a refrigerator?
I guess there's many reasons. I don't think any of them actually make any sense.
Could you imagine coming home, opening up your refrigerator, seeing a donut box and thinking, ooh, donuts, and you open it up and there is a dead squirrel.
The scream that would leave my body would be so unhuman. They'd be like, did the squirrel make that noise?
Yeah, I think it would be a little bit of a day ruiner to find that. So with context, it makes a little bit more sense. This happened to my friend Monica. And she has a husband and a dog who she both loves. But they decided to make some interesting choices over last weekend that led to the said squirrel in the donut box. So her dog, Riley, is a little Springer Spaniel, super cute, little fancy lady. Mm-hmm. We love her so much. But if you know anything about that dog breed, they're very smart, they're very energetic, they're very active. And they're bird dogs, so they have a really strong prey drive.
Fun fact, my dad had bird dogs when he was younger, and so he had many Springer Spaniels.
Yeah, they're so adorable. They have, like, great personality, but they're also little homicidal freaks.
True. True.
And they need a lot of exercise. So Monica, she takes Riley out on trails and to, like, you know, in the woods every day, and they go on runs because dog parks really just don't cut it for Riley. And on a good day, I would say she told me that Riley can catch up to like a couple squirrels, and she just gets them and she thrashes them.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. She takes care of business.
Thrashes. I hate that.
Yeah. Rattles them.
Good morning.
Yeah. But every Friday, Monica and Ryan and Riley have a really cute doggy date where they go out to the woods and they bring a box of donuts and they relax with their pup and they just eat some donuts and hang out. This past Friday, Monica couldn't make it. But when she went home, she saw that her husband, Ryan, had left the box of donuts in the fridge. So she thought, oh my God, hubby did such a nice thing for me. Wrong. Open the box. Squirrel carcass. That was it.
No.
Just a single squirrel carcass left in the box. And she, like any natural human, made an inhuman sound and screamed, to which her husband ran in, asked her what was wrong. She was in the midst of throwing out said squirrel carcass. And he said, what are you doing? You can't throw it out. She asked why. And he said, it's a waste to keep throwing them out because they're meat. I want to try one.
Absolutely not.
Yuck.
I mean, ditto. Well, okay, so technically he's not wrong. There are people who eat squirrel meat.
Yeah. It's good, too.
Is it?
Have you had squirrel meat?
In fifth grade, we had
what?
Fried squirrel and fried rabbit.
In fifth grade?
It was our science project.
Probably.
No, I mean, I know you grew up in Louisiana.
Yep, sure did. So eating alligator and stuff like that is not, it's not common.
Alligator, not that bad.
Not common.
Alligator, it tastes like good. Ham. Don't you feel like it tastes like ham?
I was thinking more chicken.
Yeah, it's chickeny.
I'm
thinking more chickeny.
Oh, I don't, well, whatever I had. And it was a tailgate.
You sure that was alligator?
It was probably Nutria.
No, I think it was. We were at a tailgate because Kentucky was playing Florida, yeah. And they always like to like have people in.
Fry gator, we get it because we get it. We're super fried. And
you guys kick our ass every time anyway. So
it was some project. We had just read some book, and for the project, we each had to bring in a different dish, and someone brought in rabbit and someone brought in squirrel.
Okay, but he does know. It's not like you just, you know, went to the Publix and grabbed some squirrel meat. Like, you're going to have to skin it and, like, all the things. And that's, and those aren't meaty animals. Like, that's going to take some finesse.
Yeah, he skinned it on their front porch.
No, okay.
No, gotcha. Boiled it.
No, nope,
And then baked it like a chicken.
Wow.
Not Chippendale. No.
Ew, so it's not even like, he like parboiled it and then baked it?
Yes, that was his decision, I guess.
Did they try it? Is it good?
He had tried it. She politely declined, and he said it wasn't that good.
Oh. Yeah, no joke, because he parboiled it and then baked it. Ugh.
Yeah, maybe not worth it.
Yeah, no.
All that for nothing.
Okay.
I'm nauseous.
Bye, like, up.
Did I miss where the dead squirrel came from? Did he shoot it?
The dog got it. Because the dog, it's a bird dog, and the dog kills squirrels on a daily basis. And the dog has killed so many squirrels that at this point, he's like, we're just throwing away good meat. So why don't we see if we like squirrel, then we're going to have like a loaded up deep, you know,
why not
deep
just
freezer.
Feed it to the dog.
No.
That would make, the dog caught it. It's meat. They can process it. That would make sense. And you save on dog food.
This is how we're going to end the show?
Yeah.
Find something else.
Get it? The Bird Show.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.